Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We've got Sammy P. here, sponsored by PointsBet, talking about this insane market. I mean, wow. What do you even say here? Tell us what's going on. Give us the big picture.
I don't know where to even start, Elise. And remember, this is something that you could have done. You could have bet on this in the offshore market. You can't bet on it in America, right? But you could have bet on this in January, in March, in July, in September. So it has been the largest wagering event in the history of the world. This is not hyperbolic. This is reality. One sportsbook in Europe, one sportsbook alone, has already taken $500 million on the election.
Wow.
One book.
What in Europe?
You extrapolate that out, we are in the billions. And you can still actually bet on this right now. You can bet on who will win the presidency. Now, Joe Biden is a heavy favorite. He's been a heavy favorite since, I believe, Wednesday morning. But we went to bed Tuesday night. Donald Trump was a slight favorite. He hadn't been favored since July. And obviously, we've seen what's happened. Obviously, the map and the path looks good for Biden. But this is still wagerable right now everywhere pretty much but America. But it's fascinating to see the dollars roll in. And the odds, not only they change minute by minute, but they change minute by minute on every state that's still around. You know, Pennsylvania, Arizona, what's going on in Georgia? Trump is now the favorite in Georgia. He was the underdog yesterday. It's just, it's a fluid market, and it's based on people actually putting their money in it.
All right, so let's back up a little bit. Election betting odds, which is, I think the place that everybody says, oh, well, that has accurately predicted all the elections for whatever. Election betting odds before we went to the polls on Tuesday had Biden up at about 64-65% and Trump at about 35%. And so then what happened after that?
Well, I think people started to see, you know, some of the numbers coming in for Trump in those Big Ten states. I call them the Big Ten states because it's Wisconsin, it's Michigan, and Pennsylvania. And before they started to count a lot of the vote-ins, like the early ballots, the numbers were looking very good for him, and they're just looking at the polling data. I don't remember the margin in Pennsylvania that he was up, but to the odds,
like 8 points at one point.
Yeah, and there was 70% of the vote reported. Now, I'm not getting political here, and I'm not saying who's voting for who, and I'm not getting into that. But all I can tell you is the push from the people betting on it, they saw an easier path in those big swing states, because once he won Ohio, I think the market started to go, uh-oh, here we go again. And I think it was the liability at center stage because they didn't want to get whacked like they did in 16. This happened in 16 when Hillary was a massive favorite early
right.
in the morning.
Right.
And around the same time on election night, uh-oh, here we go. And the Trump train started to pick up steam. So I think it's a combination of money coming into the market, but also liability. These books were like, we don't want to pay out any more Trump bets at a plus price. We want to make it expensive to pick Donald Trump. And I think that's what happened. I think the move was a little aggressive, but there were people, like you mentioned, Biden, big favorite in the morning. There were people that bet Trump in the morning and then bet Biden as an underdog later on at night. So they won no matter what because you had a plus price on both candidates. That's how wild the swings were in the market.
That's really crazy. So how does, clearly this is the bet of the century, right? You know, and I appreciate that you do sports betting. We're going to talk about some of the sports stuff coming up in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you were going to try and place a bet, what would you even say to people at this point? I mean, they haven't closed it off, as you to your point, right?
Well, yeah, you can still bet this legally in a lot of countries. You can bet it, you know, in the United Kingdom, in Ireland. You can bet it in Canada, you know, some of the Central American countries. Donald Trump is 5-1 right now. I'm not saying Donald Trump is going to win the presidency, but there's still a path for him to win. Would you agree? I mean, is it? I obviously he's a small,
it's
a small percentage.
Absolutely, there's a path open because we don't. I mean, a little later on this morning, we're supposed to get either final or a big update from some of the major states that are still outstanding. But yeah, there's certainly a path for him.
What I do is try and advise people to do the best decision at the best price. I mean, that's essentially what it is. Would I tell you to lay $760 on Joe Biden to win 100? No. Because you could have bet Joe Biden at 100 to win 300 on Tuesday night, right? If you bet behind the move, whether it's a sports bet, a political bet, or a stock, you're in trouble, right? If Coca-Cola is at $20 and you go, oh, you know, I'm gonna buy it at $50. What are you doing? If gas is $2.17 on one corner and $2.37 on the other, which one are you gonna buy? It's the same principle. So I don't know that he's going to win. I think Joe Biden's going to win. But Donald Trump right now, if you still believe in him and you think there's a path there and you think that things will get ironed out or whatever, he's 5-1 right now. So 100 makes 500.
Which is really amazing. I think somewhere it said, you said $3 billion might be actually bet on this election.
In the United States. That was the estimation by a couple industry experts that I talked to. They believe that the whole election, and again, this is not just a one-day thing. This is going back months. You could have bet on this a long time ago.
I know people who bet on it a long time ago.
$3 billion. And honestly, that might be conservative.
So who's the big winner in this? The platforms? The betting platforms?
I think the industry in general.
Yeah.
I mean, I had so many people text me, including King John, who texted me on Tuesday and said, I'm watching, I don't remember if he was watching CNN or Fox News, and he said, one of the people just brought up the betting line. I said, yeah, get used to it, because this is only becoming more mainstream. And look, I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, you watch a football game now, and every commercial break has something. You watch a CTA bus roll down the street. There's an ad for PointsBet. It's just, it's incredible how many different ways they're trying to weave this into the broadcast. And it's not for everybody, and some people are like, oh, gambling's evil. But gambling makes companies money, and people are doing it anyway.
Yeah, so you might as well do it legally. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about sports, because we just, as we were going to the break, yet another game is getting postponed because somebody, you know, has COVID. Let's talk a little bit about that, because what, you know, remarkably, I think football has sort of progressed pretty well. Basketball progressed pretty well. But how is COVID changing, if at all, the line on things?
It has changed everything, Elise. Let me take you to a game last Saturday. It's Purdue going on the road to play Illinois.
Yep.
And on the surface, Purdue is about a 6 or 7 point favorite. Well, guess what happens an hour before kickoff in Champaign? The starting quarterback and the backup quarterback both have COVID. So what does that line do? So Purdue becomes all of a sudden an 11-point favorite. And now these sports books are scrambling because they have to not only move the money, because right away people see the news. They look at their TV and they go, oh, Illinois quarterback has COVID. Oh, I like Purdue. So they're trying to balance the money they already have. Now they have to shift the market, but they don't know how good the third-string quarterback is, right? I mean, there's some,
right.
I don't even know who the third-string quarterback is. So if you're a bookmaker and you're taking bets on this, you are crunching so many numbers and doing so many different equations, but you weren't prepared for this because you didn't know about it. And now all of a sudden you're down the rabbit hole watching high school film from a kid from Barrington who's going to be the quarterback, and you have no idea. So sportsbooks, I know, have been extremely panicky over the last, you know, 3-4 months on all different sports.
Well, they're taking bets blind, almost.
And they can get middled, essentially, too. So there's a game tonight, Green Bay.
They can get middled.
Let me explain that.
That's a new thing for me.
Middled is where you potentially lose both.
Mm.
So Green Bay and San Francisco tonight. The game actually opened. Green Bay was a 2-point favorite. Right now, with almost the entire 49ers team having COVID, they're playing backups all over the field. So that market went from Green Bay -2 to now Green Bay -7.5. If that game lands 4, 6, 7, the books are going to lose every bet. Because now you have people coming in and taking San Francisco. So they could get essentially middled from -2 to +7, and they're going to have to pay all of that out. But it's not like that would have been a thing if not for all of these COVID cases.
Well, will you stick around? We'll talk a little bit more about this.
Are you sure? You want to have me hang around a little longer?
All right. Well, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll make a decision.
Right.
You'll either be here or you won't. Let's talk a little bit about the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with the Bears? They were doing so great at the beginning.
They've lost their luster, right? I think the shine is a little bit off the helmet. It looks like they've been playing in the mud for 2 weeks.
Oh.
But, I mean, let's relate it to, you know, if Chicago was a stock right now. They're 5-1. They're riding high. Going into Monday Night Football against the Rams, everybody bet the Bears, and they got, you know, pretty much crushed. Last week at home, they could have won. They didn't win. So they have now dropped 2 games in a row, and that has sort of been programmed into, you know, the bettor's mind, like, oh, well, maybe they're not that good. And I think that sort of gives you an opportunity. If you think they can hang around against a Tennessee team, like the look-ahead number, they put these numbers up before the previous week, and Chicago, I think, was a 4-point or 3.5-point underdog. Now they're getting 6 points at PointsBet, so they don't even have to win the game. They just keep it close. They lose by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you win the bet. But if they were a stock right now, I mean, I listened to one station this morning, one national station. I read the Tribune this morning, and it's like they're burying the Bears already. And I guess I understand it because we always react to what we've last seen. It's the recency bias angle. But they still have an incredible defense, and they've been in a lot of games. I mean, they've actually covered 5 of 8 games because their defense keeps them in games. So you get a little bit more points because the perception is sort of down right now. They can cover this. They could win this game. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, that would be exciting. We'd like to see them win. And, of course, it's going to be a beautiful day on Sunday. And we always, there's this fantasy that the Bears play better when it's cold out and they're whoever they're playing, mm-hmm. you know. But it's going to be a beautiful day for a game, I think. Maybe that'll be good for
them.
It's
been nice around the Midwest. I didn't check the temp in Nashville, but I imagine it's warmer there than it is here. They are on the road this week. But it's all about the number. Like I said, if it was 2.5, 3, I probably wouldn't be interested, but now that they're a 6-point underdog, if they lose by a field goal, they lose by 4, anything goes, Elise. I wouldn't be surprised. Their defense is so good. They have kept that team in a lot of games this year.
So, Dave Ennett just walked into the studio. He must want to weigh in on this.
Okay. Let's see. Got me there. Hello, 1, 2, hello.
Oh, which mic are you on? 3, 4, 5, 6?
I've turned them all on now.
Okay, how about this one?
There we go.
I apologize because I was in the studio. Have you talked about the Bears' COVID issues?
No.
We have not yet.
Okay, so the Bears just closed Halas Hall.
Oh, boy.
They sent everybody home. Reportedly, the player who tested positive is Cody Whitehair, the center, who was hurt and didn't practice yesterday. But now, of course, they have to go through the contact tracing, all the protocol. This is the second player they've had test positive. They had another player who was sidelined because of close contact with Jason Spriggs, the guy who tested positive a couple days ago. So what this means, we don't know. There are a lot of teams that have had to do this and went ahead and played their game on schedule. So we'll just have to wait and see. But that is the updated news on the Bears.
Well, that's pretty late in the week for that. I can imagine the betting odds have just completely shifted.
Nothing yet, actually. Dave, we did see this, though, last week. We saw the Bengals were down 3 offensive linemen, right? And the market sort of moved against, ironically enough, Tennessee. And the Bengals, even with 3 backup linemen, they still won the game.
Yeah.
So it's hard, Elise, because now we're putting, and Dave, we're putting numbers on players, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, the center's worth 1, but he wasn't playing anyway. So, it goes into the calculus of how much is this player worth? Is the backup lineman worth anything? We don't know because these are unprecedented times.
So this is a really an interesting question, and maybe you guys have talked about this maybe offline, but you know, when you have a player testing positive, you know, typically you would have a 7 to 14 day sequestration for the whole, but it doesn't feel like sports teams live by that 7 or 14 day thing.
Well, it depends. In the Big Ten, a player who tests positive is required to be out for 21 days.
Wow.
For instance, Wisconsin's starting quarterback who played against Illinois 2 Fridays ago, he can't play again he tested positive shortly after that game, and now 21 days he's out. Now, other college conferences are not adhering to as strict or as long of a time as the Big Ten is, so it varies a little bit. There's some wiggle room there, and I think that the NFL, it depends. There are 2 categories. There's a player test positive, and there are close contacts. Essentially, it's contact tracing, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they'll have a player quarantine until he's clear, right?
Right.
So that might not be. Jermaine Effetti of the Bears was in that category the other day, but that doesn't mean he can't play this weekend. So it all depends on how he tests.
And there's a fascinating case right now.
So interesting.
Clemson is the best team in the country, and their quarterback without COVID probably wins the Heisman Trophy. He's that good, and I think Dave would agree. He might be the number 1 pick in the draft. He caught COVID or tested positive 2 weeks ago. So he's not playing for their biggest game of the year. It's Clemson at Notre Dame.
Mm.
And for a week, I've been on the phone with bookmakers trying to figure out, well, how much is the spread now? because the best player maybe in football isn't playing, but then, oh, by the way, the backup is the number one quarterback in the country from last year's high school class. So now we're trying to calibrate the number between Trevor Lawrence and DJ Wangalelele.
Hey, nice. Now, I'm glad you said that.
I learned that from you.
I'm going to go try it.
Well, because Dave used to you know, write the terms out, like, he used to, like, hyphenate and spell it out that way. So I learned that from Dave.
Yeah.
Wangalelele. So that's the reality. We're trying to figure out how much is the starter and how much is the backup worth. And we don't know.
Well, and in that case, Elise and Sam, the player, Trevor Lawrence, has to miss this week's game because of cardiac follow-up testing after his COVID. Like, he's symptom-free. He traveled with the team, or he's traveling with the team to South Bend, but he can't play because of this follow-up testing he has to undergo.
Wow. Well,
there's
so much to think about, and it really just continues to have this waterfall effect everywhere. So out at Stanford, I think their whole soccer team, this is probably a little beyond the thing, but my son is out there at getting his advanced degree, and he said the whole soccer team tested positive, and they basically stuck them in a sorority. They took over the fraternities and sororities, and so that's where they're putting anybody who tests positive on the team. And so the undergraduates haven't come back. Like, in many schools, they're all virtual, except that the players of the sports teams are on campus. And so they're all now living in, I don't know, the fraternity or sorority, and it's a couple of weeks, to your point, Dave, that till they can go back on the road,
right,
so to speak. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for letting me barge in.
No,
anytime,
with
Dave.
News anytime, and when it breaks, as they say. All right, so Sammy, what about the big bet of the week? What are you thinking?
Well, this is
that we just changed everything.
John usually wants me to find the wildest bet of the week that was. So this is a bet that took place on, I believe it was Sunday Night Football. Yeah, it was Eagles against the Cowboys.
All right.
And somebody at PointsBet put up $270,000.
Wow.
On the Eagles to win the first quarter. So at the end of the first quarter, if they're up, you win. If they're down, you lose. $270,000 on the Eagles against the Cowboys. The Cowboys are up 3-0 with 2 seconds to go, and the Eagles have the ball. They throw a touchdown pass.
Wow.
At the end of the first quarter.
Wow.
And that bettor went from losing $270,000 to winning $100,000 on one play. The last play of the first quarter to win the bet.
So that's a really awesome story. I mean,
it's so stupid, but he won.
He won. And we would have never heard about him. Well, I guess we would have heard that he lost $270,000. It reminds me, though, when my son, Michael, who I told you the last time you and I were together, I was telling you about my sports-loving son, Michael, he used to tell us when we would watch, like, the Bulls games, or we would watch the Bears or something. He's like, "Mom, I know there's only 7 seconds left, but there's 22 ways that they could win the game."
There have been so many games, especially in college basketball in March Madness, when a team will be up 7 and the team that's losing will take the inbounds pass, Elise, and throw it with one hand down the floor, and it will go off the backboard and through the hoop, and the final score is 4, and the spread was 5.
Yeah.
And it's like 6 figures, maybe 7 figures, just changed hands on one play that meant absolutely nothing to the final outcome, but it meant everything with the point spread. And that, I mean, you're watching that game Sunday night, you don't know that. You're like, oh, 7-3 Eagles. But for one better, it was everything. It was a $370,000 swing.
Wow, which is so big. What's your pick this week?
I like Michigan at Indiana, and that'll make Bill Murdoch, the engineer, very unhappy. He's a big Hoosier guy, and he told me I was wrong. So I think we
don't
bet.
You just love that?
I think we actually bet 5 cents on the game in the hallway. I think Michigan is undervalued. I had them week one. I didn't pick them last week. They lost to Michigan State, and now they're sort of undervalued again. Can you get my drift here? I like to zig when you zag. I think that's the message here. So Michigan is -3.
Is that called betting the underdog?
I think it's more contrarian betting, because Michigan's favored, but I think it's sort of going against the grain, rather.
Okay.
Right? Like, I'm betting against what I believe everybody else will do, and that's not the end-all be-all either, but I think Michigan's a better team, and they are a 3-point favorite at Indiana. So I need Michigan to win by 4 points or more, and that's what I like.
All right. Well, we're delighted to have you stop by today with so much exciting news. We're going to have to, you know, check in with Dave Ennett to see what goes on with the Bears, and if you see something exciting happen,
I will barge through the door like Dave did.
Barge through the door like Dave. I mean, he does it so beautifully. Sammy P is with sponsored by PointsBet. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Love it.